Welcome to the Courtney Turner Podcast. I'm here today live with George Webb. Before we start, I just wanted to draw attention to the video I just posted. Go to rebels4cause.com and get your tickets ASAP. It's going to be awesome. It's an Artist for Liberty event. Cause stands for Creative Artists Uniting for the Sovereignty of Everyone. And we need more of that. We need community. We need organic, genuine art, not infiltrated social engineering. So yeah, it'll be awesome to see all of you there. I'll be performing aerial acrobatics. And without further ado, how are you doing today? I'm so excited to have you here today.
Well, that's June 3rd and 4th. I just want to make sure I get that on my calendar. June 3rd and 4th outside of Nashville. Is that right?
Yep. June 3rd and 4th in Franklin, Tennessee.
To see you make points against the deep state and get 10s in floor exercise. Wow. What an event.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's just really important because I feel like, you know, they've done so much culture creation through the arts and they've tried to atomize us into they want us in these siloed metaverse, you know, and I think that we need to build community and do things that are in person together and that are fun and that celebrate art that's actually organic and freedom minded. So
sounds like a lot of fun. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Thank you. To be back on your show. This is awesome.
Yeah, thank you. So I think we're going to cover, you've been, as I was saying before, you've been covering some very fascinating but also kind of dark material. So I think it's really important for people to know so that we can be prepared because it seems like we've got a lot of the same players involved in all these operations over and over again. And they seem to replay a lot of the same playbooks, but they're successful because a lot of people don't understand the plan. So maybe if we wake up to what they're doing, we'll be able to do something about it to thwart them and derail them.
Yeah, well, the plan is simple. It's basically do 9/11 all over again and get what we didn't get the first time in the second round. And believe me, I was not a 9/11 person, and I thought this is farthest thing that coronavirus was a coronavirus 9/11. But as the information started to accumulate and I had people come forward and say, yeah, it is, I couldn't deny it. I had two different whistleblowers come forward and tell me that this was going to come out of Fort Detrick before it came out of Fort Detrick and Fort Belvoir. And then I had four whistleblowers at Fort Belvoir. So, you know, that's a lot of people telling me that this is coming before it happens. And we had really quite vocal about maybe this shutdown, lockdown type of thing happening through a live exercise. And then it happened. So I'm just picking up the pieces now. And Bob Malone just helps put those pieces together.
Right. So can we cover a little bit what you think a lot of people had suspected, you know, he was seen as like the darling doctor that came out against the vaccine after having been injured by it. And, you know, really a lot of people looked to him as kind of a leader of the freedom movement. And then there were a lot of people who started to question a lot of his ties to the deep state and some of the money that he had been given from people like DARPA, BARDA, DTRA. What can you tell me what's going on with Malone? What are his connections? And then you have some personal controversy going on with him as well.
I like Bob Malone. I think he is the most interesting man in the world. He's better than the guy they got for the Corona ads or whatever.
John Secchi's, yeah.
He's better. I like him.
Yeah.
And put that kind of guy forward too if I wanted to hide anthrax too. For people who don't remember the anthrax one, it's kind of on the heels of a very large traumatic event, which is the towers. It was at a time when the Senate was considering doing 9/11 investigations. So we would do investigations before we went to war.
Right.
Then this person here in Florida that I'm researching, this Bob Stevens, who was the reporter for the National Enquirer, dies of inhalation anthrax, and we're bombing 2 days later in Afghanistan, and we're immediately planning for war in Iraq, and we're pushing through the Patriot Act, bang bang bang, all in a row based on this last time that this, and I wrote a book called Anthrax 9/11.
Right.
And so the theory here, or the thrust here, is people are coming to me who are interviewing these special operators saying that there was a part of Anthrax 911 that didn't get executed. The original plan was supposed to be six guys flying crop dusters spraying anthrax,
right,
which would have generated a huge once the ties were made back to Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein, that would have made the wars go through. So there was this kind of dangling, hanging chad still out there that could be executed. And I basically, as a reporter, just went on to try to find out if that was true or not.
And what were you finding?
Well, I found that everyone around Bob Malone, he really wasn't well known until he came out with this DNC mega donor, Steve Kirsch. Him, maybe 20 million is not really a mega donor, but I've never donated 20 million.
I've never donated or received 20 million, so.
I'm a great problem to have, right?
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, I was like, wow, you know, this DNC mega donor, and I had been in court with the DNC, so I was kind of like, oh, what is this DNC guy doing being the big victim here? And then I did some research, and it was just mind-boggling how all of his associates go back to 9/11, all of the associates go back to anthrax, all of the associates go back to weaponizing anthrax. You couldn't make it up if you tried. And so it's not Bob Malone that I have an issue with, it's all of his friends. That's who I have the issue with.
Right, right. But do we, I guess the question then becomes, because he's been kind of put in the forefront, in the spotlight. So, and he claims not to have, he pleads a lot of ignorance. That becomes a little bit questionable. First of all, I've had the pleasure of talking to Dr. Malone several times. He is incredibly bright. So the notion that he would be that unaware is a little bit iffy to me, because he's really, really sharp. He's very charming, very charismatic, very likable, a great person to have as the front spokesperson for, you know, all of this. But it does become very interesting to me that he is this closely connected to all these people and receives so much money, and that he would have no idea of what the big plan is.
Yeah, you don't have to go very far. I joke that I'm going to be down to interviewing Bob's pool boy to find somebody who wasn't involved in the weaponization of anthrax. I'm really down to like anybody who like has done yard work for him or whatever. But if you start with just Daryl and Daryl,
yeah,
my condolences out to Bob Newhart's wife, who just passed away in Arizona. But you remember they had the two brothers and they were both named Daryl,
right?
Which was funny.
Yeah.
But Daryl Galloway, Bob Malone's admitted CIA partner,
right,
has a lifetime of weaponizing anthrax. Ohio State Lab, Navy Research Medical Units before that. His whole life is spent, and he had the big plan to put out, anthrax uses a 1-2 punch to put out the lethal toxin,
right,
in an aerosol to mass vaccinate. So that's one Daryl. We're only at one Daryl so far. But then the other Daryl Rickey, is running the whole database, DNA database lookup system called ID Prism for the FBI. So you don't even have to get past the first two Daryls. And, my condolences to Bob Newhart again, but for using this. But it's easy to remember these two Daryls.
Right.
And the third person, and I'll just stop because I could go on and on, is Stephen Hatfill, who is the key guy who's right there February 2020, right, advising Trump. And he's that anthrax bomber. He's the one who sends the non-weaponized anthrax to Daschle and Leahy. Do you see why I sometimes think it's weird that Bob knows everybody that did the anthrax 911?
Yeah. Well, then it also brings into question, what did Trump know?
Well, you know, we brought all these citizen journalists together on the Potomac in March 2020, and we all were watching all this live. A lot of people couldn't come because of the lockdowns.
Right.
The 11th, the WHO declared it. and we were locked down there on the 15th, I think, or around there. And we saw on the 17th live, Mike Pompeo say, we're in a live exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I remember that. Yep.
And Trump said, you should have told me. I got the feeling that they told Trump like an hour before their press conference. Because if you remember, it was a really thrown together press conference with Deborah Birx.
Yeah.
And then she ushers in Fauci and puts him up and says, this is my mentor.
Yeah.
It was all very thrown together. But I think Trump found out right around there, March 17th.
You there? Yeah.
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 So, and you wouldn't have to tell Trump if there was a pre-existing presidential order to execute this second step. And this second step could have been an attack on our major U.S. cities, either putting anthrax in the ventilation systems or some kind of food. There's foodborne anthrax you could do. So several different, we looked at several different companies. We had been focusing on DynCorp.
Oh, you froze up.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I might need to move closer to Wi-Fi.
Okay.
If that helps. Let me just move here.
Turn
on the camera for a second. I'll move closer.
No worries.
Great. Well, you get the idea that the other things that they didn't get, they got the Patriot Act. They got NSA for eavesdropping on all the calls. That came out later with Snowden. They got the TSA. They got the DHS for sort of like an army at airports. They got a lot of what they wanted, but what they didn't get was a biometric, some kind of biometric marker.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get a biometric marriage or pairing, like a Bluetooth pairing to your phone, or to something that you couldn't kind of get away from. And then if that was true, then you couldn't really implement things like digital certificate, CBDCs, because without the biometrics, no CDBC. So that's really what we were looking at is there was half of the plate they got and cleaned, but there was still this stuff that they didn't get that they wanted. And it looked like this a live exercise was the going to be the other shoe to drop.
Wow. So what do you think is going on now? Like, where do you think they're at with everything?
I think they're done. I think three rounds. These shots sort of kind of make a QR code in your arm. The virus also scarred us and marked us. You could use like a weaponized but very attenuated version of anthrax, for instance, to create a lot of the things that long COVID has. Long COVID has not been responsive. 30% of the people who got corona still have it. It's deep in the lungs. That's indicative of an anthrax.
Right.
So you use the anthrax in combination and actually insert corona into it or whatever you want it and say it's monkeypox, RSV, whatever, and have it not be so. You could use anthrax as the platform and then test for all these other things. So it always seems to be confusing. It always seems to be overwhelming. And then you get overwhelmed, so you say, well, let's just put the WHO in charge. So the other shoe to drop here is the WHO pandemic authority.
Right.
And that remains, I've chained myself to the gates in Geneva, but they still want that.
Yeah, and the health assurance amendments, right, which would basically subvert all the sovereignty for individual nations.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, it's all window dressing, all the WHO, it's all fake. They wait till the last day, 4 o'clock, and then they change it to what they were going to plan to do. But all the delegates come in, they meet all their friends, they get to go out and eat. But no matter what they come up with, it's all going to change at 4 p.m. on Friday
right.
To what they want.
Yeah, Yeah, well, that's pretty scary. So with what, so you were saying that it's mostly all of Malone's friends that you have an issue with. What was going on with the anthrax to the like the I you were calling it basically like anthrax to AmeriVax, right? Like how were they planning to take it from this anthrax weaponization and all the things they were rolling out with 911 and to this like mass scale vaccination program? And what do you think that he did know, or what do you think his involvement was?
Well, I don't think, the song and dance man, the cover agent, the cover services guy,
Yeah.
doesn't really need to know what the real operation is. You don't
Sure.
want him to know. You want him to ride a high horse and be the one who gets all the, all the widows' money. All the remdesivir widows, are going and giving their money to Bob Malone and Steve Kirsch of the DNC. So
Yeah.
he doesn't really need to know what happened. What I think happened, the domain team that was advising the president, that's still secret, Hatfield was definitely one of them. It's interesting how Chad Roy, the other person that Bob Malone mentions at the Tulane Monkey Lab, this is the same as the Dr. Mary's Monkey Lab, believe it or not, where they,
Really?
where
Wow.
they're doing all the monkey mutation.
Yeah.
Bob's brought him in, and he's an old anthrax hand. So who was on the domain team and who was on the cover team is really hard to determine right now. It seems this word domain, because Bob was using the domain software, so maybe that was to help confuse or divert from the domain team at the White House. But I think we could answer a lot of questions just by figuring out who the domain team was.
And do we have any clue?
We just know Hatfield. I think Matt Pottinger, who's a key acolyte for Henry Kissinger, Robert O'Brien, another fixture for Henry Kissinger. Kissinger was very much a part of the original 9/11, and saying we're not going to just attack based on no evidence Iraq and Afghanistan. We're going to attack everybody, and that really gave us global war on terror and gave us all these forward operating bases, 800 bases around the world. So there's a lot of evidence here too. This isn't just speculation. Well, you look at, for instance, the FC pathway. Bob Malone wrote a paper about the FC pathway with Daryl Rickey, one of the Daryls. That's a key pathway for anthrax in the ACT pathway. So how Bob Malone is so prescient in June 2020, he only got the sequence in January 10th by his own report, by his own retelling of the story. So able to come out with a scientific paper on the FC pathway for antibody-dependent enhancement just seems like it's way too premeditated. And but Daryl Rickey would know. He would know if he wanted to do a scarring. The reason why it's advantageous to put a virus into someone that writes a message or a serial number, same way you would want to tattoo prisoners or you would want to brand cattle with a serial number. Same idea. It's the idea of a federal registry. It goes back to Herbert Hoover, goes back to the Nazis. That's Daryl Rickey's, that's his program. So it could be a virus that's using reverse transcriptase to write a message or serial number. It could be that you, it's writing in what they call a mutation program, a chimeric mutator protein, and you're making your own, you're generating your own random number for yourself. But the key here is biometric identification, ID Prism, it's called. That's Daryl Rickey.
Wow. And now they're pushing through, because you talked about the Patriot Act with one of their, and the NSA was one of their goals with 9/11. Now they're pushing through the Restrict Act, which I feel like is kind of a digital iteration of the Patriot Act. What are your thoughts on that and the connection here?
Well, you know, good old Senator Warner, you know, he never misses a trick. I mean, he specifically called me out, saying it shouldn't take an act of Congress and a major news network to silence this person on YouTube. And I had already been silenced. It already destroyed 4,000 videos and destroyed my channel. They were just mad about me appearing like this on somebody else's channel.
Right.
But the key is that I identified a whole bunch of military cohorts and intelligence operators at the World Military Games, which is the place where they test and these things before they roll them out on a grand scale.
Mm-hmm.
What they didn't want was, hey, you uncovered the top level of NATO, the two top NATO intelligence people, and we were doing our trial run, and we don't want anybody outing our stinking trial run before we launch it on the United States of America. That's not nice.
Right.
So 60 Minutes did a hit piece on me. CNN did a hit piece on me about Section 230. At that time, they called it. They then came out with Nina Jankowicz, and she did the disinformation board. I'm going to try that route. That got knocked down, and now they're back at it again with the Restrict Act. And it's Senator Warner again. You just can't believe it.
Crazy. What do you think? It's crazy that they're targeting you so hard. But also, what do you think about the Restrict Act and how it's tied to this biometric the vaccine rollout, the anthrax plan?
Yeah, I think the CDBCs, the FedNow, is certainly going to happen probably next month. I don't know about the capability. We looked at some of the adjuvants out of Fort Belvoir with some of the nanoferritin that might give you enough signal. I don't think they're there yet with the biometric pairing yet to your phone. But I think that's an ambition. I think that's an ambition. Yeah.
Yeah, it does seem like that's their goal, definitely. Yeah, I guess I'm really curious. You know, I've heard, it could be one of two scenarios, like you were saying, that the front man really doesn't need to know. And interestingly enough, when I interviewed him, it was really about his backstory, which I don't think a lot of people know. I don't think he talks about, but, you know, concerning his academic career and how they really exploited him. And it would be interesting if that's kind of what's happening again. I mean, that would be the benevolent kind of take on it, that he was being used and exploited and unaware of all of these connections that are being executed.
So if you believe in peanut butter, you certainly should believe in Peter Pan. I mean, there are certain things that, you know, I mean, he claims he had PTSD, for instance, from his genius mentor, Indira Verma.
Right.
Indira Verma was at the Salk Institute. Indira Verma was the guy who said, hey, HIV, this scourge from Africa, writes into people's genome.
Right.
Let's use that to cure rare diseases like sickle cell anemia. And we'll write into the blood, big problem getting to the bone marrow, but we'll write into these stem cells the correction, just like you would correct a kid who's misspelling the same word all the time. And then when the kid learns a new spelling, he goes on and he spells it right. Friend is I before E, right? Or whatever. And then that's the idea with Indira Verma. So what they did was they took HIV and they watered it down and got rid of everything that except the ability for it to write into the genome. They got it down to 10%, 9.9% of the original genome, which I call the cassette. Doesn't have any of the harmful effects or the genetic information of HIV. It just writes the correction, the ability to write the correction. Mm-hmm. Well, Bob Malone was the key person studying under Indira Verma to get that cassette, right? And his mission was from a guy named Bob Gallo, who was at Fort Detrick. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to use it from a completely different purpose, and that was to write the serial number, to write the ID. And Rickes, R-I-C-K-E, his presence with Bob Malone as such a close partner for $10 billion in DTR IPOs confirms that that's what they were looking for. confirms. I'm going to move over slightly to some shade because I'm burning up here in the sun.
Yeah. I don't want to be responsible for a third degree burn in the sun.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
I wanted to be in the shade to begin with, but I was too far from the so hopefully this will work.
Thanks. Okay. So, and where are you now?
I'm near Lantana, Florida, where the original 9/11 attacks occurred.
Right.
And I'm not far from Boca Raton either. And I'm tracking two of the suspects that I think did Corona 911, a guy by the name of Fruman and Parnas. And they were repositioned or resold to the American public as key people in the impeachment. But they're nothing of the sort. They've been 20-year informants for NATO and the FBI, and that's who we're following here in Boca Raton.
And what are you finding so far?
I'm finding, well, we published their IP addresses. They have, I've got Cutter Industries in the back. You can see the off there, Cutter Industries. Interesting story about Cutter Industries. Go back to Dr. Mary's Monkey Lab. They were the ones who put the impurities in the polio vaccine. Now, can you imagine a pesticide company getting a contract to make human polio vaccine? That's true. Cutter Industries in California. And that's how the SV40, that's how the simian version of HIV got into the polio vaccine. And it might have caused a whole generation of soft tissue cancers. But I digress. that's not what you asked about. But
I think it's all related. I really do. I know that seems so conspiratorial isn't even the right word, but it does. And I do. But I think it actually is. I think they connect all of these things because I think that's part of their bigger agenda.
Well, Bob Malone himself has said that they picked the polio vaccine because it was so infectious.
Mm-hmm.
They chose to target the CNS, the central nervous system, because it has no immune system. So it's sort of like training wheels for bioweapons engineers. If you can't infect with polio in the CNS, you're not very good, and you're not going to make it in the big leagues, kid.
Right.
So that's there. But with Fruman and Parnas, we actually track their IP addresses to a stream in Wuhan, to a city called Kunming in the summer of 2019 before the breakout. We had looked at their top secret clearances where Operation Warp Speed was based in Huntsville, Alabama. We looked at their top secret clearances at the Spectrum Center. We published all the IP addresses. And we even went all the way back to when they originally got their DOD, DIA, and FBI clearances for being informants at Fort Huachuca in Arizona. So again, not something we're just idly speculating. We're saying that these are the merchants of death, and probably were could go all the way back to being the ones who only one or two suburbs away killed one Bob Stevens of the National Enquirer.
Wow.
Well, and the reason I say that is because Fruman or Parnas, we have him on record as putting a 9mm to someone's head, who I believe was a parking attendant because he wasn't getting his car fast enough. So these are criminals. These are gangsters. These are people at the end of their rope that'll do anything, threaten anyone. No small act of murder is too small for them.
Right.
You need some kind of craven, depraved personality like that in order to do this sort of act against humanity.
Yeah, for sure. And what do you think they're doing now?
Well, they've been repositioned. Rudy Giuliani, not knowing any of the background here, has used them to try to implicate Trump in the phone call. Remember the perfect phone call?
Yeah.
We were runners back and forth to this Ukrainian billionaire gangster who runs the Azov Brigade in Ukraine right now named Kolomoisky.
Mm-hmm. We've
been calling him out, I think, for six years. So a lot of these international crime gangs have made an unholy matrimony with our intelligence services, and that's how they have protection they enjoy.
Sure. I mean, one could argue that that's actually how our intelligence apparatus began.
There's a good argument there.
I think it's quite compelling, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start with Alan Dulles and work our way up.
Yeah. That would be a good place to start for sure. The Devil's Chessboard would be a good one to read on that for sure.
Great book by David Talbot. That's my favorite book.
Yeah, it reads like a soap opera, but unfortunately is actually history.
Yeah, fantastic journalist. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So what do you think the chances are? So I kind of feel a little bit optimistic when you say that I just a little bit. But when you say that the plans of 9911 did not get fully executed because this is just to indicate that their plans may not always manifest. I do really think that their plans are to, take the model, the technocratic model of China, and roll it out across the world. That seems to be really where the elites want to go. And I think that that's their plans with trying to push the CBDC. And of course, if they get the biometrics, what are your thoughts on how successful they'll be, what the timeline of all of this is based on all of these players you've been investigating and how far we are?
Well, I don't think you could be more right about China as the model for the lockdown, the social lockdown. We follow a guy named Steve Feinberg at Cerebus Capital and DynCorp. Bob Malone goes to work for DynCorp and DynPort, the vaccine company, right after 9/11, by the way, and he still won't talk about it. If you get him on and interview him, why don't you just ask him about, well, what did you do up there? Did you know the anthrax bomber? He was suspected for 3 years. Did you know Stephen Hadfield? Do you ever run into him? He's doing anthrax vaccines and tuberculosis vaccines at the same time that Bruce Ivins, the accused bomber, is doing anthrax vaccines. You would think Bob Malone would tell people all about this story, but he's mum's the word on that. He doesn't want to talk about Steve Feinberg. But we've looked at them, and Bob Malone says I'm somehow stalking him. We looked at DynCorp since 2016, going all the way back to Jeff Epstein and Les Wexner, diverting Unitaid money for the virus vaccine game in Africa and Haiti. We've been looking at Cerebus Capital when they made very odd purchases right before the breakout for this company called PaxVax. PaxVax is in Switzerland. They make the travel vaccines that most people are familiar with when they go to Africa. I just got back from South Africa, yellow fever and whatnot. So these are ways also with your adjuvants, of adding in something that leaves a residue that creates a sort of a QR code. So, and the idea being that if, as you go through a Leidos scanner, another company we followed with SAIC before that, that the Leidos scanner actually could read a diffusion pattern, sort of like an ink blot, as your individual marking. So these travel vaccines are another way. But Steve Feinberg has spent his whole career on developing technologies for DHS to track deplorables. So I think the number one reason here is control for Homeland Security, sort of quote unquote, wink, wink.
Right.
Really for the control of, so money can't be spent. You can't buy any ammunition in Remington. That's another company he bought. You can't meet and go hunt foxtail or spotted deer, a deer that somehow gets coronavirus in the middle of the wilds of Michigan. All these things that point to Steve Feinberg, we were looking at way before we ever knew Bob Malone worked for DynPort.
Wow. So they've they're and the Leidos is also like those scanners, right, at the TSA works with.
And they're going to go to new generation technology. They are right there at the millimeter wave, but we're looking at terahertz wave. A lot of this technology was developed at Raytheon, at the Lincoln Laboratory in Bedford, Massachusetts, where Bob Malone's dad worked, as well as his father-in-law worked there. And that's where his
They were
10th.
both CIA.
I think his father worked on the trigger for the nuclear weapons, I believe, the gun type trigger. And then his father-in-law definitely was CIA, working on radar systems, I believe, for Raytheon. So either way, they're both, he's both, he and his wife have a long history in the intelligence community, and he said that.
He said that he specifically did not go into the CIA because he didn't want to be part of what he realized was weaponized against the masses. And then he claimed that indirectly, his work has been resulted in that. And, you know, that was one of his great remorses.
Well, you know, like Oppenheimer, you know, I have become death and all that. Yeah, I guess these are nice, you know, hand wringing that you can do after the fact. But there's no amount of absolution that removes Bob Malone from creating a mass formation psychosis at the end of February at a event called the Biogen Super Spreader event. And there was two mass formation psychosis phone calls, one with the Wellcome Trust, another with the CDC and Nancy Meissonier. And then 3 days later, 3 days immediately following those mass formation psychosis calls, everyone got sick at this event. Bob Malone was there ready with a practical guide that he had written 2 weeks earlier about coronavirus called Coronavirus, a Practical Guide on February the 12th. Now, this is before there's even 20 patients in the United States. He's already written a book about coronavirus. It seems very premeditated. It seems very planned.
Yeah. And can we talk a little bit about the Wellcome Trust and their connections?
Well, I just got back from South Africa and I went and visited Sir Henry Wellcome's stomping grounds there at the Dutch East India Company Gardens. When he died in 36, they established this charitable trust. But really what he had done, he had collected infectious agents from all over Africa and Asia, and he brought them back to England, and they had tried to study the toxic effects of the various animals that created poisonous death. And they tried to bottle it, literally, by reducing the toxicity as ointments and salves and you know, remedies, sort of snake oil type, literally snake venom oil type toxins. Then it transmuted into studying at the biochemical level once the DNA genome had been cracked. And then now you're looking into how do we manipulate the human genome and how do we make a sword and shield, a weapon that only affects our enemies and protects us. And I still think this is one of the major things that the Wellcome Trust is really working on. And they're the ones who are getting all the bids way before anybody else, way before the pandemic, for something called mRNA.
Right. And who are the funders? I feel like they're connected to some of, yeah, okay.
Well, the Wellcome Trust goes back a long time to people who are associated with diamond mines and gold mines. You remember the British Treasury was about bankrupt with, out of Queen Victoria's days. India trade had gone away. And if it wasn't for the South Africa gold mines, for the mint, and there was this family, it began with an R and ended with a child, and I can't remember the name exactly, but they had a mint over there.
Here's?
Yeah. No, it's not Rothschild.
Oh, that one. Okay, yeah.
They had a mint over by where the Royal Palace is there, out in Buckingham. And most of the World War One was financed on South African gold and a good bit of World War Two. And that also funded after World War Two called Port and Down. It was basically a bioweapons facility in Salisbury, Berkshire. And I've made many trips to Salisbury and Berkshire, and that's really who funds. And, you know, you have people like Prince Philip saying, I want to come back as a
virus,
VIRUS, yeah. You know? And you have him establishing the World Wildlife Fund as a humanitarian cover. He really had a very close association with all the people over there through Prince Bernard. Prince Bernard, through the Bilderberg Group, had a lot of the scientists from the old IG Farben, the old chemical and Nazi weapons program, believe it or not, that infiltrated and got into Port and Down, as well as our own Fort Detrick.
Right, right. And what is Rockefeller? Because, you know, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds had made that pact that they've now joined forces. So I'm sure he's involved.
Well, the Rockefellers are completely innocent in this.
Yeah.
No, Godfrey Rockefeller, of course, on Gibson Island is one of the early helicopter enthusiasts for spraying of biochemical weapons. And he also is one of the early founders of the World Wildlife Federation, which was a human cover. for using these infectious agents. Mm-hmm. And the
and of course, it was also helmed by Julian Huxley, right? The eugenicist, yeah.
A lot of the eugenicist movement, David Rockefeller especially, in his close association with Henry Kissinger, National Security Memo 200, you know all the story. Not all the Rockefellers felt that way. Some of the Rockefellers were more pragmatic and just felt like they needed bioagents to clear routes for pathways. And as long as everybody got out of their way, everything was going to be okay. But right. There was other Rockefellers like David who just felt like the world has a problem and we need viruses.
Right. Right. So are they are they involved in funding some of these companies that are doing this now?
Oh, yeah. A lot of our monkey labs in America were funded by the Rockefellers. I put a YouTube video out. You may want to play on the replay.
Okay.
To the first Rockefeller monkey lab called the Yerkes Lab here in Orange Park, Florida, near Jacksonville. And the follow-on monkey labs all were funded by Rockefeller Medicine. The one way that you can disguise something from the old Nazi refrigerator, if you will, is to take it out of a human, draw it out of a human, and then inject it into a monkey, and then draw it off of monkeys and then see if they'll reinfect humans. And that, in a sense, is a way of dusting your footprints. They call it monkey mutation, but in a way, it's just actually a monkey. It's monkey business, really. It's a way of throwing the dogs off the chase. Right. But the Yerkes Monkey Lab in in Tulane, the Dr. Mary's Monkey Lab, is where Chad Roy, the good intimate, close intimate of Bob Malone, works. And that is a Rockefeller lab since the days of Lee Harvey Oswald. So, and Harold Oshner. So, yeah, it's an amazing story.
Wow. It's amazing and crazy. It's crazy. What do you think people can do now? I think a lot of this just seems like, the further back you start to research this stuff, it's like this plan has been in motion for so long and all these dots do seem to connect. So it almost seems like inevitable and imminable, unfortunately. So what do you think people can do to stop any of this?
My favorite thing is just go up to Bob Malone and ask a few questions and say, I'm fascinated by your work with Domain. And you've said you worked with Domain at the crucial time in American history, the most important question ever, about the most important event ever.
Mm-hmm.
So why not ask a question about that if you see Bob Malone? And if he doesn't want to talk about it, ask him why. And ask him in the 9/11 question. Ask him if he knows Daryl Galloway. Ask him if he knows Daryl Rickey, if you want to ask.
Didn't he work with Alibak also? And who's the other one? Callahan, I think, yeah.
Michael Callahan, sure. Michael Callahan.
No, they're known bioweaponeers, though. Like, that's, right?
Well, I mean, Alibek had 80 or some people say 60,000 people working for him in bioweapons. So I would hope that he remembers anthrax. He's the key person who probably sold anthrax with the support of Donald Rumsfeld to Saddam Hussein in the war of Iraq against Iran.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that those bioweapons were moved by the subsection of the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, and that's why we didn't find bioweapons in Iraq. I can't remember his name right now, but he called him the Ghost. Went in and moved those weapons. So, yeah, I think the way you can fight back on all this is just ask questions about, when did you first meet? How did you first know him? For instance, Michael Callahan has several patents with Bob Malone.
Yeah.
And papers, scientific papers. Now, how do you not know someone if you write a scientific paper with them? So ask those questions. Ask how he knows. Well, for instance, a person who was doing the testing in Wuhan in the initial outbreak and got 6,000 blood samples, Michael Callahan, gave those to Bob Malone's Northwell Domain studies. And that's why they decided to look at famotidine. Famotidine is Pepcid AC. So that information came directly from Michael Callahan. So Bob Malone had no knowledge that Michael Callahan was testing famotidine in Wuhan and just famotidine out of a hat. Those are key questions we have to ask. If we can figure this out, then we can maybe unravel the whole conspiracy. This is sort of like figuring out 9/11 as it's happening.
Right.
And asking Muhammad Atta, well, why are you not getting on that plane? I thought you were the pilot.
Yeah, usually pilots get on the plane. That's
Or whatever. That works. We're watching this happen in front of us, and maybe we can stop it if we start asking questions.
Yeah, no, that would be absolutely great. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was dark winter, because, you know, Biden kept saying it's going to be a dark winter. And some of us remember that that was actually an exercise, a war game exercise they were running. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, we had made fun of Dick Woolsey, who had run Dark Winter 3 months before 9/11. Dark Winter was going to be this other shoe to drop. This was the other shoe which would have locked down America after 9/11 if people wouldn't go for the Patriot Act. So we had even looked at a organization called the Gulen Organization, G-U-H-L-E-N, a Turkish-American organization that was CIA-funded, as spreaders. As a super spreaders, and I made the joke. I'm sorry if it insulted, but he does bear a great resemblance to the Nazi intelligence chief, Galen, Reinhard Galen. And I'd said Galen organization, the Gulen organization. I mean, they only had to change one letter, you know. But we had
looked, ring to it, yeah.
We looked at this and thought, you know, this would be the operative group, and I sat through a trial with Bijan Kian, an Iranian, who was in our military infrastructure where this came up at trial with all these FBI people. And it looked very much like they had actually planned this and then pulled back in 2016 and decided to count to undermine Trump in a different way through either the 25th Amendment, which may have happened and still may have happened in 2018, as well as the Mueller undermining. Right. So there was a lot of things going on with Dark Winter, but the sin that the Bragans committed, Peter Bragan and Ginger Bragan, was they outlined all 23 exercises, starting with Dark Winter up until the Wuhan military games, said these were military exercises through and through, incrementally adding scope, and it was a military sort of state-sponsored launch. And this is why I think Bob Malone sued them. He wasn't really suing the Bragans for any kind of defamation. He was suing the Bragans for just this incredible insight into the fact that this was a planned plandemic.
Wow. And did I see that he's suing you? Is that correct? Or?
No, he hasn't decided to do that.
Okay.
Yet. He's suing Dr. Jane Ruby as well.
Okay.
And I think she's they have a different part of the story. You know, the intelligence background of Bob Malone. So I think he's suing her for a different reason. But the Bragans certainly had this, if you read there, I think their third chapter of their book.
He was just making accusations about you, that's not, or making complaints, rather.
Well, he said I was stalking him.
Right.
I was in Africa. I had been in Africa for 10 days when he said I was stalking him.
Right.
I wasn't even in northern Africa. I was in the southernmost tip of Africa.
Maybe he took a trip you didn't know about. I don't know.
Literally, I'm like, he quoted someone and retweeted someone while I was in Africa.
Right.
That had associated me and my brother, a conspiracy theorist out of New York that unfortunately I worked with and got going on YouTube. And I kind of created a monster. But this person had said I'd been involved in the 9/11 planning and had left open a vulnerability in something called the Federal Bridge. Now, my brother did program on the Federal Bridge before 9/11, but he was out of the government at the time. Mm-hmm. Bob Malone requoted that person.
Right.
And, you know, it just, you wonder what Bob's thinking, because the natural question is, well, Bob, okay, you've thrown a lot of stones about 9/11 now. Where were you? Did you know Stephen Hatfield? Did you know Bob Galloway or Daryl Galloway? Did you know Daryl Rickey? Did you know Michael Callahan? Did, you know, on and on and on, all these 9/11 Hall of Champions, Anthrax champions.
Well, what I think is so fascinating is, you know, typically they do these like mass scale trauma-based mind control incidents 20 years apart, and they usually lay out the documents somewhere 10, 20 years ahead. And you very much see that with, I feel like 9/11 in a lot of ways was a, not that it didn't affect people worldwide because it was such a, you know, big event and it so traumatic for so many people. And of course, because New York was a financial mecca at the time, you know, it had major implications, but it certainly wasn't a global, but I feel like in a lot of ways it was a beta test for, you know, the CUFID incident that they rolled out worldwide, not just in terms of the what they were looking to do in terms of the psychological warfare, but I think also to see how people would respond and what kind of control measures they could implement and execute as a result of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was, I worked with a lot of the Wall Street firms that relocated a lot of their facilities to New Jersey and data centers to Arizona and other parts of the country. There was a high speed fiber line established to Chicago for sub millisecond response time. Trading a second city for trading. So a lot of things happened out of 9/11, and including all the biofunding. Remember, it took 50 years for us to sign the Geneva Convention against biological weapons until 1975. We really drug our feet. Henry Kissinger really drug his feet on that. But even then, with 2001, it lifted those restrictions that we only lived under for 25 years. And then we started working with Saddam Hussein's and, of course, the Ukraines and all these other folks. And hiring the old Soviet engineers and putting these biolabs around the ringing around the Soviet Union's or the old Soviet Union, Russia. So I think that's another legacy. Some of that I'm okay with because it's sort of like turning the claymores, you know, turning the cannons around like they used to do in Napoleon's time against your adversary, some of that, but taking it to an offensive level where then you provoke a war and potentially a nuclear war is too far. And so that's the thing we have to, this is why we have to ask Bob Malone questions right now. I think it has worldwide impacts, worldwide.
Yeah. I agree. Well, if I have the opportunity, I certainly will. I did start to ask him some of these kinds of questions at the end of the first interview, and that we abruptly ended. So, so who knows? Maybe there'll be an opportunity in the future. That would be great, because I think I agree with you. The more we can unveil, then the closer we can become. It's just like that's the reason for, I'm not a huge fan of the Western model of everything being centered around diagnoses, but I do think that, you know, when you can get to the root of something, and a diagnosis is an attempt to try and understand what the problem is, when you can get problem. And I think we have a major, illness, for lack of a better word, you know, on our hands that needs some major healing. So if we can't do that, if we don't understand what the problem is or how it came about or what the tools are that are being used. So speaking of the tools, one of the questions I wanted to ask you also was about the aerosolization, because I think this has major ramifications for people who may not have taken what?
There it is. There's the aerosols. Got to get the aerosols in the picture. The aerosolization of an anthrax or of a corona or?
Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, you froze a bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Could you repeat the question? I'm
sorry. Yeah, no. So the question was just that I'm concerned about the aerosolization of, these injections, like instead the aerosolized version of the injection, and what the implications could be for people who maybe didn't take it, for doing some sort of a mass scale type of, whether it be biometric implementation, whether it be making people sick. I think there's lots of implications possibly, and I know they're trying to put it in the food, they're trying to put it in, then there is the possibility of it being aerosolized. I know they have the technology for that, so.
Yeah, I think these ferritins, there's a lot of biological processes that capture iron, like in the making of your blood, the hemoglobin.
Right.
And if you wanted to have the most effective marker, you would inject a set of genes which would basically create clumps or clots that would be easily seen and easily identified by a Leidos type scanner. And it's interesting because we've identified a lot of people that are involved with clumping and clotting hemorrhagic fevers. This Virginia Benassi, since 2009 in China, we've tracked her for all the way to getting the bids for coronavirus. So I think aerosolization, look at the possibility of anthrax or tuberculosis or some bacteria as the adjuvant for making these things more aerosolizable. We have all these athletes dying suddenly. COVID couldn't possibly last that long in their lungs. Anthrax could. Tuberculosis could. We have these, Jane did a story about long calamari clots. Stu Peters did a long calamari clots. I think they were baited. I think the folks that did the original transport with a real bacteria are baiting them and trying to throw them off the trail with these long calamari clots. I don't think that's killing people. It's a much more subtle bacterial long-term infestation in the lungs or gut.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. And what makes you think that?
Well, the accumulation of any long calamari clot would be seen in the living long before you would see it in the dead. The ratio usually is about 100 living patients to every patient that dies from pathogenicity, or 20 to 1 a case of COVID, even if you didn't have any. So in all those Died Suddenly movies and so forth, there's no pictures of living people,
only
dead people.
Sure.
And if I was trying to mask an anthrax or a tuberculosis or some other kind of bacterial vector, I would be giving those little bottles of formaldehyde with calamari clots to journalists like they were candy. I'd be giving them out like they were Pez dispensers, because I don't want anybody really looking at and doing cultures, lung cultures and gut cultures of what really could be the transport mechanism.
Wow. What do you think is causing those clots?
Well, there's several things that could cause those. Hemolysis is the process of severing the red blood cell. Anthrax certainly is one of those. Hemolysin is how anthrax kills you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's many other ways of doing it, or at least leaving a smoking gun that leads people away from anthrax. Again, anthrax is sort of the transport mechanism, but I can cover that with Congo Crimea hemorrhagic fever, Nipah fever, Lassa fever, dengue fever. Any of the hemorrhagic fevers will provide cover for an anthrax type thing. That's why you have to go. ETH, I believe, the university out of Zurich, Switzerland, makes a anthrax test. If you have a long COVID situation, if you have a brain fog, again, anthrax affects the CNS, spinal column, when it gets to the fulmate stage. Look at that. Look at the have your radiologist look at your spinal scans as well for any kind of swelling and so forth. That's typical telltale of progressive anthrax.
Wow. Well, the first thing that comes to mind, all I can think is future shock, because while they may have been doing all of this research and trying to execute these, the anthrax plan back in, the late 90s and for 9/11, after, since they didn't, afterwards, there was that whole, like, scare, right? Remember how they kept saying you can't open envelopes because there might be anthrax? And I remember that was like a, it was a thing, and that they, you know, fear-mongered everyone with it. And it does make me feel like that was kind of a form of future shock, knowing that that didn't work, but that they had planned to use it at a later date. And so that now we would be prepared for that, because that's typically just kind of what they do in their psychological operations.
Yeah, I call it mass formation psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure I'm not the one who coined mass formation psychosis. I think it's a guy named Bob Malone on Joe Rogan. But he took something by a doctor named McDonald who talked about mass psychosis, and another Matthias Desmond that talked about mass formation.
It's also based on Le Bon's work, you know, from 1908. But Future Shocks comes out of Tavistock Institute, and that was, you know, when they were researching shell shock therapy, you know, the soldiers in World War One. But even before that, when they were creating, you know, at the Wellington House, the British Propaganda Bureau, and they were trying to figure out ways to desensitize people to prepare them for the mass-scale trauma that they were about to implement.
My parents knew Alvin Toffler, who wrote Future Shock, and they met him at a Unitarian church, but I never did get a chance to meet him. I always liked reading him, though. He was pretty fun to read. But I think you're right. I think they're preparing the masses for kind of this 1984 being led by the hand, kind of just obedient slave type world. But I do think we have a way of asking questions of our free speech. Shows like yours can really poke a hole in these false narratives, I think.
Yeah. And then I wanted to ask you also about the anthrax, and what did you know? Is there anything people can do if they do have the anthrax? Can they detox in any way? Is there?
Well, I'm not a doctor.
No, I know. But have you heard of anything? Are there any?
There is a toxin. There is an antitoxin. It's the lethal antitoxin, I think, that Daryl Galloway was planning on aerosolizing, I think, is one of the antitoxins you can use. The other is a long course of antibiotics, but one of the reasons it could have gone under the radar is because nobody expects it, and most doctors won't prescribe a long course of antibiotics now because they're afraid of antibiotic resistance. So you have to get the antitoxin test, you have to get the ETH test from Zurich, the Zurich labs, in order to prove to your doctor that you deserve this course, and then you can get rid of it. But if you have long COVID, especially any neurological long-term things that you can't quite explain, it's worth taking the test.
Yeah, and that's something you order from a Zurich lab. Is that what you said?
Well, ETH is a university, but I do think that these are orderable through a general practitioner and your hematologist or lab. Any competent lab can perform the anthrax test.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I like to leave people with things that they can do something about, you know, and that there is some hope, because there's a lot of questions for sure.
You test positive, please go on YouTube and show everybody your test strip, because it may solve one of the biggest mysteries that's affecting everyone in the world. 30% of the people have the long COVID still.
So yeah.
The biggest mysteries in the world right now.
Yeah, this long COVID, and there's all sorts of strange kinds of, you know, it seems to keep circulating with, you know, whether it's a mutation or it's a new bioweapons that they're releasing, but there seem to be these different iterations of it that are, and they're all very strange, you know, but people have similar symptoms. Yeah.
Again, you can just read the metadata and look at the scientific studies that the Malone intimates put out. And one of them is exhaled exosomes. Mm-hmm. Exhaled exosomes affecting people near and dear to you. And Chad Roy, none other than Mr. Monkey, the Mr. Monkey business down there at Tulane, put a paper out about exhaled exosomes and the way it could actually vaccinate people that you're intimate with without them ever having taken the vaccine. So check that out. Check out Chad Roy's paper on that. It's fascinating and chilling at the same time.
I will definitely check that out, Chad Roy's paper. And there was also all these studies that they were doing in Australia with like self-disseminating vaccines, right?
Yeah, a lot of this comes from the early experimentation in cattle. Anthrax was originally harnessed as a bioweapon by Bayer and a guy named Duisberg in World War I to attack the war horses of the enemy. And then it migrated into a human in World War II, where Churchill wanted us to build this capability and this company called Vigo on the Wabash River. And then, of course, Fort Detrick are the result of that.
I more and more feel like war seems to be a cover for wartime research where they have black ops carte blanche budgets to do.
Well, Vannevar Bush becomes the person at the head of the Office in Science of Technology and harvests all the patents at the Lincoln Lab. Bob Malone's Lincoln Lab was where all the patents go to be stolen. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I don't know. I think we've covered quite a bit. I don't know. I know your phone is on limited time, and I'm so grateful for all of your really valuable information. If you have anything else you want to add or leave us with, please do.
I was just punching in my phone. Is it June 3rd and 4th?
It is June 3rd and 4th.
Rebel Without a Cause or Rebel
for a Cause. Yeah.
For a cause.
Yeah. And the cause is creative artists uniting for the sovereignty of everyone.
And we'll see not only you taking down the deep state, but we'll see stunning gymnastics along with that. Is that
you will? I am going to hang from apparatus such as a hoop and a hammock and spin around and do some aerial acrobatics. Yeah.
Wow. All for freedom. I love it.
All for freedom. Yeah.
I'll see if I can work that into my schedule. It sounds like an event not to be missed.
Yeah, thank you. That would be awesome. I'd love to see you there. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you. Thank you, Courtney. Well,
thank you so much. Tell everybody where they can find you, find your books, and all your incredible work, please.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm at Real George Webb One, and I work for a company called Buy Me a Coffee. So you can find me at George Webb, Buy Me a Coffee. And so Bob Malone, there's a whole bunch of people that say I work for China, I work for Russia, I work for Israel. I really wish I did because I'd get some money. I'm broke.
Yeah, so buy me a coffee.
Buy me a coffee. And at Real George Webb One is my Twitter, is the best place to find me. I also have a Substack, georgewebb.substack.com.
Yeah, and definitely check out his work. He's doing incredible work. And you always seem to be on the ground, really just, you know, right at the source and going after it. I'm so grateful. Yeah.
Yes. Right now we're on the anthrax deaths. And like you said, five people total died, two in postal workers in Washington, and then people down here. And then I think, I can't remember the other two, a lady in Connecticut by Yale.
Yeah.
And then another person in New York City. So they hit all the markets. You know what I mean? They hit all the big markets with that anthrax attack. And I think this, coronavirus 911 was just basically the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, it does seem like it. And it's just astounding to me how it's always the same people and the same organizations and entities, right? Yeah, the Dark Winter. But, you know, you mentioned Yale, right? Like the same players over and over again. It's just... Yeah, there needs to be a lot more exposure. What was that book, None Dare Call a Conspiracy? The end of the book, they said that conspiracy can only survive in the dark. So I always add that, you know, therefore it's incumbent upon the light to shine on it and expose it. So
Gary Allen, a great book. He also wrote a book called Kissinger. Get that one too.
Ooh, I'll have to get that one also. All right. Well,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Until next time. I'm not going to be able to do that.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.